Welcome to week three of the Hamilton Bulldog podcast here from the Hamilton Spectator. I am Scott Radley.
And I'm Terry Pekoski.
And, you know, now that they've actually started playing, it's actually a lot easier to talk about some stuff with the Hamilton Bulldogs.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
You know, when we were talking before, it was largely theory and kind of guessing what was going to happen. Now we can talk about some stuff that we actually know, even though I still, Terry, don't really know how much we know.
I'm not sure after the first three games how much we know either, because we saw, you know, some very different things in the course of those three games.
Game one, they play against Mississauga, who is missing seven NHL prospects, six of which they're probably getting back, and Nylander, who they probably aren't. But that's seven NHL future stars, and they killed them. But what does that mean? Probably not much.
I don't think much.
Nice to build your confidence.
It's nice to see them scoring, too, which is something they haven't done a whole lot of over the last few seasons.
Nice to see them scoring. Then you go to game two against Kingston, who is missing their best goalie.
And one of their best defensemen.
And the Bulldogs win big again, which, again, full marks for getting the win, because you get as many points for winning against a team that's missing players as you do who have a full team. But what does it mean? I don't know.
Who knows?
And then Wednesday this week, the Bulldogs go to Owen Sound and, for a variety of reasons, look nothing like the team that played the first two games, but played their backup goalie. And so what does that mean about the Bulldogs? I don't know. So I got to be honest, three games in, they're 2-1. It looks nice. They've scored lots of goals, but I honestly could not tell you almost anything about this team. I couldn't give you a definitive character picture of who this team is right now. I don't know.
I don't know either. The one thing I will say that is good for the Bulldogs is that they're scoring. So even in that loss, they scored five goals, and that's something that they really haven't been doing in the past. So that's
a long
new
time. So since in Hamilton, we've seen that Bulldogs team score. Because don't forget, the four last years of the AHL team, they were either lowest or second lowest in the league in scoring.
Yep, and even in Belleville, before this team moved here, they haven't finished better than fifth from the bottom.
And last year they were what, fifth from the bottom?
For the last 4 years, 3 years.
And last year they were fifth from the bottom?
Last year they either tied or were alone in fifth last place.
So scoring is new. Scoring is kind of, they may want to do like some sort of marketing thing around the fact that we actually can score now. This would be a nice thing to sell, that you can actually come to a game and expect that you might see more than a goal or two. That's actually a nice change for this team. And the great thing about scoring, we've got a lot of other things to get to, but the great thing about a team that can score is that it can cover up for a lot of mistakes.
It can. So if, for instance, you're a little uncertain about your goaltending situation,
which you might be now,
scoring can really help you.
Well, we'll get back to scoring in a second, because you've just sort of led us right into the big news of the week besides the games.
I'm dropping hints.
Yeah, which was the trade that the Bulldogs made, where they sent Connor Hicks, who was probably going to be their number one goalie, and who had been at an NHL camp in Detroit and had looked very good, and Fedor Gordiev, who is an NHL, probably going to be drafted in the NHL somewhere next year, and two second-round picks, and got back Will Bitton, who is a first-line center. But before we get to Will Bitton, your thought about the goaltending, because you had, if you're the Bulldogs, this whole trade to me seems predicated on the fact that you have great confidence now in Caden Fulcher, who is just 17 and who is going to be your goalie of the future, but you're kind of putting all your eggs on that guy's basket right now.
He's young, and he actually just celebrated his 18th birthday last week.
Well, happy birthday, Caden.
When he got his first OHL shutout.
Right, yes.
Same day, so that was a nice birthday present. And I found it maybe interesting that they didn't start him last night in Owen Sound. They actually started Cole Ceci, who played in Ancaster with the Junior B team last season. And it was not the best OHL start ever.
Really?
Ever.
Really?
He allowed five goals in the first 20 minutes of the game, and then Fulcher ended up finishing it out.
And CeCe has, his preseason was not dominant either. So he, I mean,
it was
he's
not
had
great.
A rough. So this is the interesting part: is you had depth in goaltending when you had Hicks and Fulcher and then CeCe as your third guy. You have to give something up to get a first-line center.
Yeah.
But you give up one of your goalies. But again, this is now putting all the pressure to be good on trusting that Fulcher is going to be really good and CeCe is going to be a lot better.
And that your veteran defense maybe is going to start looking a bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, those first two games, people will point to the fact that they outscored the other teams 14-2. Again, we don't want to pour cold water onto that, but remember who they were playing and who wasn't playing in those first two games. It's really not a great indicator of anything.
I think, aside from maybe, you know, the middle period against Kingston, their goaltending and their defense wasn't really tested that much over the weekend, and that came last night. That was the first time they've actually been tested defensively, and it didn't go very well.
It didn't go very well, and Owen Sound, a lot of people are saying Owen Sound is going to be a lot better than people think they are, so maybe you're playing against one of the better teams in the league on Wednesday night, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are still young kids. I don't doubt for a second that after you have two hugely dominant games that you, even after just two games, feel a little cocky and a little overconfident and a little sure of yourself, and you roll into Owen Sound, and suddenly before you blink, you're down and with giving up five goals, and suddenly you say, oh.
And it was a bad start. I mean, it
was a terrible
start. When you let in one within the first 2 minutes of the game, I think as a goalie, sort of your psyche is
not helped.
Is not good.
But then they bring in Fulcher for the second period, and Owen Sound scored 4 seconds into the second period. That's almost impossible to do.
It's tough. I don't even know how you get to the other end of the ice.
1001, 1002, 1003, 1004 goal. I mean, that is, by the time the puck is dropped, you scramble for the faceoff, you make a play, you barely have had time to get the puck over the blue line, and it's in the back of your net. That is a remarkable, and if you're a goalie who's just come in relief, presumably thinking, all right, I got to stabilize this team where, you know, it didn't go so well. That's not ideal for...
It's not good. Not good.
And so, but what really needs to happen, what's really interesting about this then, if you're the Bulldogs, I'm thinking Fulcher is going to start playing. He's going to play in Guelph and maybe both Guelph and Niagara. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you need this weekend, but you need him to play well in those games because you have just traded away your insurance policy. And if the goaltending right off the bat is not good,
mm-hmm.
you kind of kill a lot of the confidence your team has. Now they're all hanging back. They're all doing stuff they wouldn't normally want to do because they're worried their goalie can't stop the puck. The goalies have to be good.
Well, and this is what I think about this trade, right? I mean, Will Bitton certainly is an excellent addition to this team. He's going to help them a lot. And you know, any team in the league would be lucky to have a cachet player like that in their lineup. But, you know, I don't think it's reasonable to think that you can win every game, or you don't want to win every game, you know, 8-6.
It's a mixed metaphor, but look what the Blue Jays did last year. This year their pitching is great, but last year they hit the snot out of the ball, but they couldn't pitch very well, and eventually that catches up with you.
Yeah.
So you're right. If you could score a ton of goals, but you have to be able to prevent goals too, unless you're the mid-80s, 19, or Edmonton Oilers, and these guys are not that. But in this league, so it comes to, basically, in my mind, Gordiev may or may not become something. The second-round draft picks may or may not become something. In a lot of ways, to me, this was a trade of a number one goalie for a first-line center.
And what an opportunity for Connor Hicks, especially considering he just came back from training camp in Detroit, which is just down the road from Flint.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him last night when he was on his way there. He is excited to go back and play with George Burnett again. He is excited to be a straight, full-out number one goaltender, which he never really, in Hamilton, never got the sense that he was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always talk about we're going to test both him and Fulcher and see who does the best. George is adamant, you know, this is my guy. So for Connor, I actually think this is a really good opportunity.
But those are there is one other type of player in hockey who you would put maybe into that category, which would be a horse defenseman who could play 30 minutes. But those are the guys that are hardest to get. The defenseman who could play all the time,
yeah.
A high-scoring number one center, and a starting goalie.
Mm-hmm.
So you traded one for one here. You definitely, if you're the Bulldogs, I think with Bitten, you've added to your scoring depth. You've brought in a guy who, he scored 30 goals last year and had 35 assists on a Flint team that was crap.
They only won 20 games, I think.
And that would have, both the goals and the assists would have been number one on the Bulldogs. And he's 17, so they've got him for another few years, presumably. So, I mean, it does definitely bring something that the Bulldogs wanted and needed. You've got depth. You have got a big scorer. You can have a setup guy now. But you gave up your starting goalie, potentially. And so there is a risk here involved.
For sure.
I think it's a positive thing for them.
Yeah.
And in the column I wrote about it in Thursday's paper, there was a line that I had meant to put in, and I forgot to put it in as I was editing and re-editing and rewriting. And I think that this is a really positive trade for the Bulldogs as long as Fulcher doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Because if the Bulldogs' remaining main goalie were to go down, now this becomes potentially an issue. You got your number one center, but you do need to have a reliable goalie. And I really don't have any evidence yet from what I've seen in training camp, preseason or regular season, that Cole Ceci is that guy.
No, he's not. And Fulcher in the past has struggled with inconsistency. So, you know, in my view, this is not, it's not a slam dunk for the Bulldogs. Not yet. It could be, but time will tell.
Are you surprised that a guy who was fired by Steve Staios and George Burnett, who went to Flint, was able to make a trade with Steve Staios? Because that was my first thought on this when they heard this. A lot of guys, when they get fired from a team, don't want to do business with the team that got rid of them. And yet here we have the former Bulldogs GM trading with the current Bulldogs GM, and the current Bulldogs GM has the former Flint head coach here. It's all a very intermixed thing. Are you surprised George and Steve were able to do this?
No, for two reasons. The first is that the one thing I learned about George last season working with him and interviewing him, you know, day after day, is that he's an absolute pro. He has been in the OHL a long, long time. He is an expert at what he does, and he is, you know, one of the most professional people I've ever met in the business. And for that reason, I mean, he can put any feelings he has aside about his firing and get a deal like that done. The second thing is that he didn't have too many options. So what I heard from George is that Will Bitten's list of teams on which he was willing to play was incredibly short. And Hamilton presumably was, well, obviously was among that short list. So,
and would you put Hamilton on that list? Do you believe it was because of John Gruden as the coach, who Will played so well for last year? Was that what made Hamilton acceptable?
I don't know. I'm going to ask him today when I meet him. I can only assume that is probably part of the reason. He, on his Twitter feed, you know, today or late yesterday, said he's really excited to be reunited with John here in Hamilton. So everything I've heard indicates that they had a really good relationship. And I know the players love John and Flint.
Well, they walked out for John.
Exactly. He's happy to be back with John.
And I would have wondered if a team would have traded, if the Bulldogs would have traded their number one goalie for just about anybody, but obviously you've got a coach that knows this guy, that is comfortable with this guy, who got a lot out of this guy as a young player. So if there's any team that is going to say, we're willing to give up a number one goalie, it's a team that really knows what this guy presumably is going to be able to do. And if he got 30 goals as a 17-year-old in this league,
mm-hmm.
2 years from now, or at least next season, I don't think it's unrealistic with the lineup they're going to have around him, 45, 50 goals. I don't think that's a crazy number to be expecting him to be producing.
I don't think so either.
Which would give the Bulldogs, again, you know, this trade to me is not about this year. It's not. It'll help this year for sure.
Yeah.
But next year when you have Troy Luff as a 20-year-old, as an overager.
Yep.
And then you've got a bunch of these guys that are all going to be in their 19-year-old season who are going to be good players. This to me is a move for next year. Let's get everybody, because they've got, what have they got, 8 or 9 guys now who are all 18 right now?
Yep, who will all be back.
Who will all be back, who will all play together, and they're talented kids. And while the other teams start shedding their overage guys, mm-hmm. here come the Bulldogs with this group of players who will move up. I really think that next year, like we saw this week that the Canadian Hockey League listed the Bulldogs as the 9th best team in Canada.
And that's the first time they've ever made that list, the top 10 list.
Next year, I think they'll be in the top 10, probably the top 5 consistently.
And I really do see this trade, the Bitton trade, as the first of, who knows, maybe a few building blocks. So this is the first one. I think there will be more to come, and maybe goaltending factors into that. Maybe
Could be.
You know.
You give Fulcher this year to see if he can do it.
Yeah.
And if he can't, and you're going for it next year, because remember, the Bulldogs want to get the Memorial Cup here. They mm-hmm. want to play it here. If they do that, you let Fulcher have this year. See if he's as good as they think he is, and if he's not, you move some of your picks and you try and go out and get an overage goalie to carry you through your Memorial Cup year.
And they will know when? After Christmas? February?
They will know, it's right around Christmas time that they're going to announce it. A little bit after that, I think that they're going to announce who has the Memorial Cup. And it's the 100th anniversary Memorial Cup.
It's a big one. It's a big one. And if they get that, that's when you can expect more moves.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that starts. So, you know, maybe they'll be relatively quiet for the next couple of months. But
let these guys play.
See how they do, and then start, you know, filling the gaps.
See, I don't think, honestly, as much as you want to have a competitive team, especially around here, we talked about it last week, where the Bulldogs have not been in the, any kind of Bulldogs have not been in the playoffs for 5 years, which is ridiculous. You want them to be competitive, but this, I really don't believe that any of this stuff is about this year. Nobody, I don't think, believes that the Bulldogs are going to win the OHL or advance to the Memorial Cup this year. I just don't think that anyone's actually thinking.
No, I don't think they should expect them to.
No. But I don't think that you're kind of dreaming if you think that, I mean, anything's possible. You could get super hot, but it would be a miracle almost if that happened.
It would, and unless you're the London Knights, I mean, that's how the OHL works, right?
That's,
I mean, it's cyclical,
yeah.
And you have to time it.
So next year is your year. So everything is being built towards next year. I don't think that they trade for Will Bitton if Will Bitton is 19 years old right now.
Oh, no. Steve Staios was very upfront about the fact that he was his age, that he was a 1998 born player, was a factor in the trade.
If you can imagine, the OHL goes in such waves. You build. Look at what happened with the Ice Dogs. Look what happened with Erie. Look what happened to all these teams. You build. And then you fall off a cliff because if you've done it right, you've got all these kids who are 19 or 20 at the same time who are good players.
Yeah.
But then they all have to graduate, and you've got a really young team that has to come up.
Yeah, you start over.
That's what the Bulldogs are doing. They're going to have all these kids that are 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor Roberts, who will be 17 next year, but he's bigger physically. He's almost like an 18-year-old already.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to have this team building, and then if the stars align correctly, everything falls in place for your one big year, and then you suck it up for a year or two while you rebuild.
And that explains, you know, their first year in Hamilton too, right?
Somewhat. I mean, they were in a year two or three, I guess, of the rebuild. I think last year, quite honestly, they should have been further along.
Well, they were the youngest team.
But they had been in last or near last for a couple of years. I mean, I think they were off the cycle by a little bit, but they are now seemingly back on track.
Yeah.
And you can give a lot of credit to Steve Staios. I mean, a trade like this, you can say, but you mentioned George Burnett, who's not here now. Some of these moves were his. Some of the guys that are here, a bunch of the guys that are here, are his. So he, you know, while he was sent on his way, and you know, I get the sense that the players didn't all love playing George's style.
Yep.
A lot of the credit right now, a lot of the guys who are here that are building blocks for this were put in place by George Burnett.
Yeah, and I think he did a good job with that. And I think he's doing, you know, the same thing down in Flint right now. You see some of the moves he's made over the last couple of months, and... You know, maybe maybe that's his thing. You know, after you've been in the league for as long as he has, maybe the management side is where you're going to make the biggest impact rather than behind the bench.
And he is picking up trades like they're going out of style.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time the OHL priority selection comes around next spring, George Brinette may actually be the only guy drafting in the second and third round.
Every other pick goes to Flint.
It'll just be Flint, 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 Flint. He's gathering these up, and that can only help you. Not immediately, but...
But you know what? It gives him time, too, to remake the image of this team and show players and their families and agents that, you know, it's not a bad place to play.
The other interesting thing about this that we talked about this week is when you bring in a guy like Will Bitten, I got to believe that the Bulldogs aren't going to be crazy enough to break up the Luff, Strome, Nicky Petty line, which is, if not the best line in the OHL right now, it's going to be up there as far as production.
For sure.
But then you start tinkering, and the thing that you can do is you can put new guys with new people, you can move people down so they're facing weaker opponents' lines, which should help them. But I also think that the guy this helps, and he's a guy that I've been really high on all year, is Mackenzie Entwistle, who I wrote about him this week. I think that when you – I don't like to do a lot of predictions, but I think that when it gets to next year's NHL draft, he is going to be the first Bulldog player taken. And some people say, you're nuts, it's going to be Matt Strome. Could well be Matt Strome. But Mackenzie Entwistle is now going to have better players to play with because of the Bitten.
Yep. It's going to shuffle things around.
It's going to shuffle things, and better players trickle down. So Entwistle, who's already playing well, is going to have even better players to play with, as are all the guys. And I just look at I look at a kid like him, and I think he's got to be salivating at this chance that he can now have even better line mates and the numbers that he should be able to put up. Because the other thing... Every other team that plays Hamilton now is going to be keying on either the Petty line or Bitten.
And you can't, you know, you can't double team everyone, right?
It's going to open up some spots for him. And whether Entwistle plays with Bitten, which could even be better for him, or whether he's on a third line now,
he's going to have a lot more space
and all kinds of time. And I think that the way he's playing and the scouts are loving him, and the production is there. I
think he looked exceptional last weekend.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And I'll tell you what the scouts love about him right now, as well as his skating. They all talk, and it's really unglamorous, but they talk about the backside pressure, which a lot of players at junior hockey, when a player gets by them, when they're back checking, they kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit. And so players in junior hockey often, if you can get past the first line of defense, you have space. There's the defenseman in front of you, but there's no one pressuring you from behind. You're not sort of in a sandwich from a defenseman that you're trying to get around and someone behind you. Entwistle, that they love the fact that he goes hard, he backchecks so hard that he's always putting back pressure on these guys, which you watch him in a game, he'll poke pucks away, he'll steal pucks, he'll back check and take a puck away. And they're saying that's way beyond what a lot of guys at this age do. And so he's got the scoring touch, but he's also doing the grunt stuff that they see as being really important. So there's a guy, I think, I fully expect that as you insert Bitten, he's playing his first game on Friday, right?
Yeah, he's going to make his debut against the Storm in Guelph.
Once you put him in, I think Entwistle, I think a lot of these guys start to be better. The other guy I'd love to see play with Bitten, although I don't know if he will, is, we talked about him, was Connor Roberts. Because he's a young kid, but he's so big, he's so strong, he's got talent. Give him a really good playmaking center who's going to draw a lot of attention, which will open up ice and let Roberts get into some spots, and I would be very interested to see what he can do with that.
Absolutely.
It is Friday. Well, they're not home this week at all, are they?
They have four of their first five games on the road.
I'm sure the ticket people don't mind that. No one goes to games early in the year anyway. They go after Christmas. So all the early games at home on the road is great. But
yeah, no, three in a row on the road. They're in Guelph on Friday and in St. Catharines to face the Ice Dogs on Saturday. And then I think they're back home next weekend, but...
Do you think they're going to score seven or five goals every game this year? Is that your prediction?
Not against Guelph.
No?
No, Liam Herbst, who came over from Ottawa in the offseason. He's an overage goalie. He's only allowed 2 goals in his first 2 games.
So there's your test. I mean, that could be your first real test for the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see if they have been taking advantage. Because one of the other amazing things from this early season, 3 games the Bulldogs have played, 3 times they've chased the other team's starting goalie. I'd love to know if that's ever happened before.
And what a move by Owen Sound, replacing their goalie after 2 goals last night. I think someone was watching tape and doing their research.
Mm. Because each time the other team has changed their goalie, the Bulldog seems to have taken their foot off the gas and stopped.
Stagnated.
Yeah, because it was 2-all.
Yep.
Like 5 minutes in. Like, yep. It was just a flurry of goals, and all of a sudden then Hamilton was down 5-2. And it was like, ooh, what just happened?
Yep.
We will see. You know, I think the interest in Will Bitton is going to be very high. I think the pressure, quite honestly, on him is going to be pretty considerable from people who are watching this team expecting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see. We're going to see. But they got 2 away games this weekend. They are not back home again till next Friday. We'll be talking to you again before they actually get home.
Yep.
You get to see those white sweaters again for the first time in a long, long time. This was the Bulldogs Podcast. I'm Scott Radley.
I'm Terry Pekoski.
Keep reading about this team from us in The Spectator. Keep listening. Send this to all your friends and neighbors, even the ones who don't like the Bulldogs or aren't interested. Just put it in their email box.
Send it anyway.
Put it anyway. Make people listen. Force them to listen.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, or just thank them for listening. We'll take either one. Talk to you again.